to have your music heard on the other side of the world and realize you can go over there and they're going to come and see you and they recognize the music, it must be a great feeling.
It is. I know it sounds kind of corny, but it is incredible, and I feel really lucky, and especially because I've been doing this for a while now. And just as you said, just the fact that people are listening so far away from where you made something is pretty incredible.
I think so too. Now, congratulations on the album. Really beautiful, simple but pure album, I feel. Was that the intention when you were recording, especially straight to tape, I believe?
Yeah.
Going back to something sort of clean as opposed to the jaunty, fuzzy stuff of the old Fiery Furnaces?
It's true. Well, the big difference for me on this album was that I recruited a group of guys to play with me for to support my last album. And so we did a bunch of touring and that went very well. And believe it or not, even though I've made so many albums, I'd never written songs and then played them for an audience and then recorded them.
Right.
With the Fiery Furnaces, we always made albums and they're very much like studio creations and then had to figure out how we were going to play them live, and we played them, you know, radically different live. And so, although I guess this is how most bands work, I just had never done that before. And it felt like a real band album. And, you know, I worked with these guys for about 8 weeks before recording, and we, you know, figured out the arrangements and then played a bunch of shows and then went into the studio and played live like a band plays, you know, five people in a room playing music. And so it does feel kind of warm and organic, although I hate using that word. You know, yeah, I
but
think
right,
it makes a big difference. Yeah.
It comes across, I think,
good
in the album. It feels, well, I feel the warmth. Like, it feels like you are all together playing, you know, live in a studio, you know, and sometimes when you've got a lot of, you know, different parts and they're all sort of put together separately, you can tell it's not like done organically is the word, but it's just sort of comes together when you're in a room all together playing.
Yeah. We recorded one of the guys who I'm touring with right now produced the album. And his name's Clemens Nieper, and he's a German guy. Great name. Yeah. He's a great guy. And he made a studio in his barn in upstate New York. I know that, again, that sounds awfully like corny and, you know, on the nose when you think of, upstate New York, but, it's a beautiful studio and there's no separation, and, you know, the birds were chirping and we recorded onto a tape machine, and,
I've heard people,
sounds like that for a reason.
People have described the album as pastoral, which I thought was interesting. I mean, as Australians, we probably don't really know what upstate New York's all about, but you've moved up that direction, right?
Yeah, I moved out of the city a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Has that really changed maybe how you write songs now? Are you feeling a little bit more laid back in the country?
I don't know if it's changed the way that I write songs, and it's a really tough question to answer, how one's environment affects, you know, one's process, but it has to, you know. But I think, you know, I hear my first two solo albums and to me they sound very like claustrophobic almost. And you were saying before, you know, this album is great for listening to outside. And for me, I like listening to it driving. And as opposed to my other albums, I think they're great for like headphones and sitting on the subway and being kind of crammed next to other people that it's, you know, and that's the way that I made them, and I made them in the city.
Might be ironic that you can listen to your first couple of albums, maybe on the subway, but it might actually remind you of being out of the city, you know, your sort of escapism from the hustle and bustle. But you're enjoying living not so claustrophobic area now?
I am. I mean, again, maybe it's just getting older and craves, you know, your own space and more space. And, you know, I was able to actually buy a house with a friend of mine, and that's something I could never have attained in New York City. So
we got a similar problem here in Sydney, buying a house anywhere near the city.
It's impossible. So it's been a big change, but it's been a really good one.
Nice. Look, I don't want to, you know, I hope you don't mind me dropping your age.
No, it's fine.
But you, like myself, we both turned 40 this year.
Oh, congratulations.
You too.
How are you celebrating?
Well, a bit of a party. It's on next month. Looking forward to getting a few friends together. Yeah. A bit of a tipple. But
I'm playing at a festival on my birthday.
On your birthday?
Yeah, in the UK.
would you, is that good? Like, would you rather be having a party at home?
Or? Well, it was something I really thought about. I had this offer to play and it was that weekend, but I insisted if I didn't play on my actual birthday, I wasn't going to do it. And they didn't, they had me on a different date, but I was like, I'm not going to be sitting in a van on my birthday. No and fun. So I think it's a nice way to end this year. You know, like I've been touring pretty much the entire year, so I think it would be a nice, it makes sense for to celebrate my 40th in this way, I think.
And I imagine at a festival, you might have thousands of people singing you happy birthday.
Well, that would be nice. Or really embarrassing.
No, I think it'd be good. Do you think that, I guess, turning 40, has that sort of, I feel like it's a bit of a breath for me, starting a new decade of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you're conscious of? Do you ever sort of think, oh, I'm entering my 40s soon?
This morning I woke up like, you know, jet sleep deprived and jet lagged, and I actually do have these moments where I was like, oh my, I don't know if I can swear, just like really like I'm gonna be 40, like holy,
you can swear, it's okay.
Shit. I can't believe I'm that old.
Yeah, it's not old.
And
it's
that I'm
old.
Still I'm doing this. No, I know, it's just it's especially when you're traveling, like I've been traveling, and you know, I'm trying to remember. I've been to Sydney many times before, and you're trying to remember all the times, and it all kind of gets mushed up in your mind, and then you think about your age, and it's a lot to process. But I'm not answering your question. I think I'm getting better at what I do, and so that is a good feeling. And I feel like in my 40s, I hope, you know, that's actually going to be my best decade. I think
that's it. The naughty 40s,
yeah,
we're hitting it. And speaking of, I guess, memories,
mm-hmm.
you grew up in the 90s like I did,
yeah.
As a teenager. And, you know, back then, I think music evolved a fair bit in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
What are your memories of that time?
Oh, my gosh.
What sort of things, I guess, inspired you, or you look back and go, oh, that stuff from the 90s really influenced my music now?
Everything. I mean, I went to college, university in Austin, Texas, which is known for, you know, its live music scene. And at the time, you know, I had a fake ID, and there was a venue called Emo's where if you were over 21, you got in for free.
Awesome.
And every band I wanted to see played there. So I just, you know, I don't know, you name it, like,
anything stands out?
Oh, yeah, I saw the Jesus Lizard there. Mm. Do you remember that? I mean, that to me was probably the best band I'd ever seen. It was like this total visceral, it was like seeing Iggy, David Yao was like seeing Iggy Pop. I mean, and I also saw Iggy Pop actually play like in the street during South by Southwest, like when it was still small and not so corporate and crazy like it is
amazing.
Now. I saw the Flaming Lips, I saw Dinosaur Jr., Guided by Voices was like one of my favorite bands. I saw them a few times. Yeah. Pavement.
It was a gold, I still see the 90s a golden age of music. Like,
yeah.
Sort of first half of the 90s in particular.
But I used to see shows like 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And that's where I started playing music and, you know, just by myself, really, not in front of people. But that was a very formative time for me, for sure.
Well, fantastic. We're just going to play a quick track. We're going to play Kathy with the Curly Hair from your album. And then we'll come back and have a bit more of a chat about your show coming up.
Cool.
And maybe a bit of Andy Warhol. Here's Kathy with the Curly Hair.
Please deliver Kathy with the curly hair, yeah, but I've been waiting for a tall half Greek girl to take me away from here.
From her album, New View, that is Eleanor Friedberger, with Kathy with the Curly Hair. Now, you're just saying off air that was a bit of an 80s feel to that one. Maybe it's a bit different to the rest of the tracks on the album.
It's true.
It nearly didn't make the cut.
It's true. I had a job for, 6 months maybe, on and off, working on this late night TV show that's on NBC, the Seth Meyers show.
Yeah.
And I would sit in with the house band, and we would write all the music that we would play that night on TV, which was kind of a crazy prospect. But it really helped me, and in terms of my songwriting, and just not being precious about things and just trying to come up with stuff really. And when I say we would write songs, it would be just like 2-part songs and they'd just have to be, you know, a couple minutes. And this song, for sure, I was like, I needed like a catchy, upbeat song. And I just sat down and wrote it, you know, in an afternoon. Great. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love hearing how these things come about, you know. And speaking, I guess, of writing music for something else, I was interested to know, I think it was about 18 months ago now or so, the Andy Warhol Museum was celebrating their 20th anniversary, a bit of a combined art concept that I love seeing. They do it quite a bit now, live scores to films. But it was one of Andy Warhol's sort of hidden or maybe never seen films.
Yeah, supposedly he's got... Sorry, I'll let you finish.
No, you're right.
Well, he supposedly, you know, in the mid-60s, he stopped doing paintings and he devoted himself completely to filmmaking.
Yeah.
And he made, you know, hundreds and hundreds of films.
Wow.
And when I say films, I mean some. And like the ones we are doing for this project you're talking about, they were just usually one reel. So some of them were just like his screen test that a lot of people are familiar with, but it's just like all between 3 and 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But they weren't all screen tests. They were, you know, like really almost like home movies, some of them.
Wow.
But we just did the project a few weeks ago, actually. We did some shows in Europe.
Oh, right. So you've been sort of touring it around a bit.
Yeah, it has had a longer life.
Fantastic.
So it was really fun.
Maybe it'll come to Australia.
Well, there was actually a lot of talk about it, but we can blame Tom Verlaine for not wanting to take the long flight down here.
Well,
he won't mind me for throwing him under the bus.
It is a long flight, as we know.
It's a long flight. He's elderly.
Yeah,
Tom Verlaine was one of the other musicians participating.
Yep. Fantastic. Have you ever sort of thought about doing soundtracks to movies or?
I would love that. I mean, I don't think of myself as a composer, but I would love to write a bunch of songs for a movie, you know?
Sort of curate or come up with your own sort of songs that fit into a scene in a movie. I really like that idea.
I would love that. Yeah, I think I could do it too.
Yeah. Well, we never know. It could be coming up in the future.
I hope so.
Now, we've looked at the future, but I guess we'll just mention the past a little bit as well, of course. Do you talk to your brother much, Matthew, from the Fiery Furnaces?
Well, he's picking me up from the airport on Sunday when I get back to New York.
And, of course, the Fiery Furnaces, I haven't done anything for a while now. I think 2009 was maybe the last release.
Yep.
You've moved on from there, obviously, with 3 solo albums.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever see yourself going back and doing any more Fiery Furnaces or just something new with Matthew?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine not doing something with him. You know, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of having a band with your sibling. And, you know, usually bands break up because someone says, fuck you, I hate you, and then they never talk again. But, I mean, I guess some siblings that happens to, but it's kind of rare. And so I could imagine...
You're not the Gallaghers, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine making an album in our 60s, you know. I think I would never say never, although we don't have a plan right now.
Well, I mean, when you've got such a talented brother and you're yourself so talented, I could just see you two get in the studio and make something beautiful one day again.
Well, yeah, we did actually at Christmas, a couple Christmases ago, we were with my parents and we did record a song.
Oh, really?
For like a magazine that was just totally random and no one knows about it, but it happened.
For a magazine? Has it ever seen the light of day?
Yeah, it came out. It was just like one of these like really expensive magazines that I don't know who buys them and, you know, they come with a CD. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't found that one. I'll have to look it up.
It's very, very rare.
Fair enough. Well, we thank you very much for coming down and having a chat to us here at 2SER. Tomorrow night, Eleanor Friedberger is playing with the band, of course, at the Newtown Social Club, along with Noir, Georgia Mulligan, all kicking off at 7:30, $25. Tickets at the door. Should be a fantastic gig.
Please come.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they'll be there. It's Newtown, of course, is just down the road from here. It's a very... I guess hipster sort of area.
Yeah,
but,
near the university, right?
Yeah, not far. We've got a couple of unis just here and it's just down the road.
All right.
So, I'm sure you'll get a good crowd and good luck with the tour. And
thank you.
Safe travels back home.
Thanks.
All right, that's Eleanor Friedberger joining us here in the studio.